Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to see all of your smiling faces. That is good. When Julie texted earlier in the week to see if I had anything to put in the bulletin, I didn't. It's one of those weeks again. But as we got closer to the end of the week, the Lord gave me a message. He wanted to talk to us today about communicating with Him. You know, we talk about prayer, we talk about talking to the Father, but in communication there is also a time of listening. I want you to be aware today of this time of listening, of hearing the voice of God. And I've said in the past, I would love to hear the Lord audibly. I would like if He would just speak to me like you do, so I can just really know that I've heard Him. But there are a lot of different ways in communicating with the Father, a lot of ways of listening to Him. And so we're going to be looking at some scriptures today that talk about our Father, prayer, communicating with Him. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, and this is at the end of Ephesians. Paul is talking to the Ephesian church, and it's right after he's told us to put on the full armor of God, and you all know what the armor is, and we've talked to you about putting that on every day, and right at the end of that it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So we're to pray for one another. We're to lift each other up daily. Talks about praying without ceasing. So as you're in your prayer time, as you're praying, talking to the Father, communicating with Him, remember to lift each other up in prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin today. Father, I thank You for the time of communicating with You, of listening and just sharing time with You, Father. Hearing Your voice through the many different ways that You speak. Father, I ask that You'll help us to learn how to hear Your voice. And Father, to listen and then do what You ask. Father, to walk in obedience before You all the days of our lives. Father, I said, I'll not get in Your way this morning, Lord, but that you'll speak through me, that You'll use me to speak to the body of Christ here today, and Lord, that we'll learn together what You have for us today, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're actually going to begin today in 2 Samuel. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Samuel, right before 1 and 2 Kings. This is actually David's prayer. And there's a lot of examples of prayer in the Bible. But this is the one that I chose for today to give us an idea of prayer. Beginning of verse 18 of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. It says, then King David went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, and I don't, you know, there's a lot of different postures of prayer as well. You know, you can sit before the Lord, you can lay on your face before the Lord. I notice Matt loves to kneel before the Lord just to show reverence. There's a lot of different ways to, a lot of my prayer time, I'm standing, I'm doing something while I'm talking to the Lord. So, there's a lot of different ways. I hear Patsy talking a lot about she prays when she's driving. She's spent a lot of time just communicating with the Father as she drives along. Probably a lot of you are the same way. So there's a lot of different postures of prayer, if you wanted to get into all that. But David's sitting before the Lord. He sat there, he's sitting there and communicating with God, and he says, Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? So David notices his insignificance. You know, he's who he is. He's really kind of insignificant in the scheme of life. And yet, the father said that he was a man after his own heart. David loved the Lord, and he walked with God. And he said, as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? And as I was reading down through this, I thought of how this correlates with the way that Jesus taught us to pray. He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, we start out the Lord's Prayer with reverence to the Father, with showing His sovereignty, who He is, that He is the only God. There is no other God alive. God is it. And showing His sovereignty. And that's the way David began here. He was just praising the Lord and showing his fear of the Lord and His sovereignty. It says, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for Himself, and to make a name for Himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you have promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. O sovereign Lord, you are God. Your words are trustworthy. And you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. So David covered a lot of things here in this prayer. First of all, as I said, he showed the Lord's sovereignty. He told God how great He is and how much He loved Him. And then as he goes through, he talks about the Lord's blessing for himself, how God had blessed him and blessed his family. And that's one of the things that I wanted to stress today, is don't be afraid to ask for the Lord's blessing. Prayer of Jabez, a really good prayer to use in praying for God's blessing. Jabez wasn't afraid to ask for God's blessing, and God blessed him. And I believe as we ask that He'll bless us as well. So don't be afraid to ask for God's blessing as David did here. He said, continue to bless as you promised you would. We're actually promised that in God's Word. He will bless us, that He will keep us. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians now. This is, again, Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. And it says final instruction, it says in my Bible, to the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in these final instructions to the church here, it says, now we ask you, brothers, not to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient to everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Verse 17, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything and hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. So as in the final instructions to the church at Thessalonica, Paul asks them, first of all, to pray for your leaders. And I would say this morning that that's probably one of the most important prayers that you'll have. It's praying for us as your shepherds. I didn't look at all the different places that's spoken about in the Word of God, but it is mentioned quite often that you pray for the leaders, pray for your elders. And so we ask this morning for your prayers. We covet your prayers every day because it is through our leadership that the church grows. So we're trying to pay attention to what God says. We're trying to follow His leading. And we're thankful with the way the church is going. I feel like God has really blessed us here at Open Arms. And you guys are a part of that. Without your support, there's really nothing here. Without everyone stepping up to serve and do your part, and the body gets sick and dies if somebody doesn't do their part. So we thank you for your prayers. We covet your prayers. It also says to always be joyful. I know that's a little hard. Some of us had some circumstances this week that weren't real joyful, didn't we? So how do you get joy out of trouble? I'm not real sure how to tell you to do that, but with God it's possible. So be joyful always, pray continually. Probably the biggest, smallest verse that we have today, but the biggest joy is being able to communicate with God all the time. We don't have to just come morning, noon, and night. We don't have to just have one time that we can pray, but we can come any time to the Father. He's waiting for us to come any time. So it doesn't matter when. And you can be in an attitude of prayer and communication with the Father all day long. So pray continually. Don't stop praying. Thanksgiving is a big part of our prayer, and that's the next verse there, is to give thanks in all circumstances. Now that's tough too. Sometimes you're not very thankful because of what's going on. Sometimes it's really hard. It's really a lot of trouble for you. But we can give thanks to the Father because we know that tribulation and patience and and makes us mature. Brings us to maturity. It says in the end of that verse there, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, pray continually, be joyful always, give thanks in all circumstances. I want to share with you this morning, I have a thing that Julie gave me years ago. It's a 10 ways to pray for our children, and I have put grandchildren in that space because my children are grown, walking with the Lord, and I thank Him for that. But I don't know how many of you realize the importance of praying for your children daily, but it is so important, and I want to share with you these 10 things that 10 ways to pray for your children and grandchildren. And I don't know if you still have copies of that, Julie, but if you don't, I'd like to make some, and I'll give you mine to make copies of them. I'd like you all to have a copy of these. But I want to go over them this morning. I don't know how long ago I got this, but I've prayed it every day since then for my grandchildren. And I want to begin in 1 Thessalonians today, or I mean in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 1 to 3, and this is to pray that your children will fear the Lord and serve Him. I am going to turn to that one, and if you want to turn to it with me, Deuteronomy, it just mentioned one whenever in my guide, but I had to do some verses around it because they were just so important, and I want to share that with you this morning, Deuteronomy 6. Getting to it. Just give me a minute here. Maybe it takes you as long to find it as it does me, and that's okay. Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 3. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So pray that your children and grandchildren will fear the Lord. Probably one of the best things that they can learn is to fear the Lord. I'm not going to go to all of these verses because it'll take a lot of time, but Julie has written them down, and she's going to show you where they are. And if you would, just write them down because it's so important. The second way that you can pray for your grandchildren is found in Psalm 63:1, and it's so that they will know Christ as Savior early in life. I know that was a big benefit for me as I was growing up. I accepted the Lord when I was probably 5 years old. I was really very, very young. But I can remember it like it was yesterday because it was a high point in my life. It was, nobody directed me to this except the Father. I went to the barn and just knelt down in a haymow and just cried out to the Lord as a 5 year old and told Him that I was sorry that I was a sinner, but that I wanted to walk with Him. And it was weird because the church didn't acknowledge it because I was so young, and I still had to. I told my parents, and they were happy for me, but. And when we told the pastor, I wasn't old enough to currently accept the Lord. But I knew that I had. And I'll say that in our experience, both of our children accepted the Lord when they were really young. They were both very young when they accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. It's important that you teach your children to recognize God as Savior early in life, because what a difference it makes. As you grow up, as you go through school, as you lead your life. So just pray that for your children, that they'll know Christ as Savior early in life. The third thing is found in Psalms 119, verse 71. And it's that they'll be caught when they're guilty. It's really important for children to not get away with lying, cheating, stealing. So many children want to try that when they're young. They want to try different things, and so it's important that they're found, that they're caught when they're guilty with something. Our children always wondered how we always knew. And parents do know. You can tell by the way your children act if they're guilty of something. So make that a prayer in the lives of your children and grandchildren, that they'll be caught when they're guilty. The fourth thing is in Proverbs 1, 10 through 15. Pray that they will desire the right kind of friends and be protected from the wrong kind. What a prayer. So important. Because as most of you know who have children in school, there's a lot of bullying going on now in school. That was going on when we were in school. It's not something new. Just something that they can't control anymore because there's no discipline. So pray that your children and grandchildren will be protected from the wrong kind of friends and led to the right kind of friends. That they'll have good friends in their life. The fifth thing is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. That they will be kept from the wrong mate and saved for the right one. You can have an influence on your children's mates from early childhood. So pray for them in that respect, that they'll be kept from the wrong mate and saved for the right one. The sixth thing is, seventh thing is from Proverbs 13:1, that they will be teachable and able to take correction. They'll be teachable and able to take correction. The eighth way to pray for your children and grandchildren is found in James 4:7. Pray that they will learn to submit totally to God and actively resist Satan in all circumstances. James 4:7 says to submit totally to God. And so pray that they'll do that. Hosea chapter 2, verses 6 to 9 is the ninth way that you can pray for them. Pray that they will be hedged in so that they can't find their way to wrong people or wrong places. It says in the Word of God that you build the hedge around. So pray that your children will be hedged in so that they can't be led to wrong people or wrong places. It only takes one time for somebody that doesn't have the right interest in your children to lead them astray. So pray that they will be led to right people and not to wrong people or wrong places. And then the tenth way that you can pray for your grandchildren and children is in Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. I wrote something down wrong there. Just a minute. I got to go to the master list. I keep it right here in my prayer list so that I can use it daily. Pray that they will honor their parents so all will go well with them. They'll honor their parents. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do as Christians to hinder our prayers. So pray that they will honor their parents so that all will go well with them. There's just a lot to be said for children that honor their parents, because they have them, they'll actually flow in the blessings of God as we do. And that's why I say there's some things that we can, if you don't walk in obedience, why would you expect God to answer your prayers? You know, that's one of the things that we can do. And there's a lot of different ways to communicate with God. You know, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, let's just finish up with that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, or 5, I mean. 6. Matthew 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So as we communicate with the Father, we have praise and worship. We have a time of listening, a time of hearing His voice. The best way for me to hear His voice is when I'm in the Word of God. He speaks to me through His Word probably more than anything. Also speaks to us through the preaching, through the singing. How many of you respond to God's speaking in song? I have memorized so many verses because of song, because it's much easier for me to remember a song than it is to memorize scripture. So I've memorized lots and lots of scripture because we sing it now. We sing scripture so often, and that's an awesome way to listen. Remember to keep thanksgiving in your prayers. Be thankful. Bless His name. And don't forget your requests. That's important as well. Pray for God's blessing. Intercession. Intercede for the saints and for the leaders. Intercede for your friends, for your loved ones. You may have family that doesn't know Jesus Christ. So there's time for interceding and time for intercession. So if you look at all the different ways that we can pray and all the different things that we can do as we pray, it's not hard to see how that we can pray continually. How that we can be in an attitude of communication with the Father all day long. And sometimes He even wakes me up at night, and I spend that time in prayer. There's no sense just laying there tossing and turning when you can be praying. So, but remember those 10 ways to pray for your children. What a difference it makes in their lives and in the lives of those that you love. So this morning then, as we wrap up, if you have any prayer needs this morning, we would love to pray with you. If there's anyone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, we would love to help you do that this morning. I don't see anyone that I know is not saved, so maybe we're okay there. I always like to give that invitation because I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to come to know the Father, to get to know Jesus Christ. So as we close up today, as we sing this final song, if any of you need prayer for anything, come up. The elders will be here to pray with you.